The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now it's time to talk about the weekend sport. We're joined by Colm Bouygues, broadcaster with Off the Ball. Morning, Colm.
Hiya, Pat.
A couple of big set pieces this weekend. So let's start, I suppose, with the biggest one, which is Kerry and Donegal, Croke Park.
All-Ireland final, 3:30, throw-in on Sunday. And, Pat, I can't think of a game that's closer in contest in terms of predictions and preparation and preview that we've had on Off the Ball this week between Donegal and Kerry. However, in the last 24 hours, I have noticed that a lot more people are going for Donegal.
Now, both of them demolished their opponents in their semis.
Well, that's the thing. So I was asking, we did a piece this morning with Conor Gilligan, who's the Armagh, one of the Armagh coaches, and Anthony Moyles, former Meath captain. I was saying, they've illustrated they can destroy teams. Like, Kerry did that against Armagh, and Donegal did it against Meath in the semi-final. Can they do it to each other? And it seems very unlikely that they'll cancel each other out in that regard. But Donegal's pace could really trouble Kerry if it gets to Kerry. And then Sean Patton, the Donegal goal, he has a booming kick on him. So if he... if he surpasses the middle third in Kerry and Michael Murphy gets a load of the ball and then Kieran Thompson joins him and Patrick Morgan comes from deep, Donegal could potentially not dominate the game but score a lot. But then in Kerry they have this, you know, all-time talent in David Clifford. His brother Paddy is huge to them, and then Joe O'Connor's been a revelation.
Isn't this the first All-Ireland final with the new rules?
Yes, it is, yeah.
So
yeah.
It's going to be fascinating on that level alone.
You call it a two-point final, you know, it could be one like that. And again, both sides have illustrated their ability to nail the two-pointers all year round. Donegal have been more consistent. Kerry had that awful performance against Meath many, many weeks ago now, but since then they've been fantastic. This is going to be mouth-watering.
Is it sore sitting on that fence?
It is quite painful, yeah.
Let's move on to the other set piece, the Lions, tomorrow
morning. Yeah, tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. for the second test against Australia. So the first test, we talked about it on Monday morning, Pat, was that for 45 minutes or so, the first half and the start of the second half, when Dan Sheehan scored the Lions' last try, they were very good, very impressive. But I thought the last 35 minutes or so, Australia were the superior side. They outscored the Lions in the second half. And Australia have Will Skelton and Rob Valentini coming back into the side. Yeah. So that's going to be a big plus for
Interesting
them.
Interesting though, 9 Irish, 2 Scottish and only 4 English in the starting 15.
And it would have been more had Gary Ringrose not been still feeling the effects of the concussion, because he was originally named in the 15. It was going to be an all-Irish centre pairing between Bundy Aki and Gary Ringrose. But Guy Ringrose approached Annie Farrell after training session during the week and said, "I still don't feel right from the concussion," which is an incredibly selfless thing to do, Pat, because Guy Ringrose, despite his talent at 30 years of age, has never played a Lions test, and he may never.
It's fair to say that Andy Farrell is going to finish the series. This is his objective tomorrow morning.
Absolutely.
Get it done. 2-0 and then the last
funny,
one is...
It's a funny conundrum for us, because for the sake of the series, we wanted to go to the decider and be interesting. See, there's part of you wants Australia to win, but at the same time, it's like, no, let's get the job done and hammer them out the gate, if possible. And then the third test, that will take care of itself when we get there.
Now, League of Ireland, obviously we had 2 League of Ireland teams in action, in European action last night.
Yeah, so Shamrock Rovers, they went to Gibraltar to play St. Joseph's. These are Conference League qualifiers and they hammered them, Pat. They won 4-0 in a very unusual pitch. If you've seen it, it's like an AstroTurf between two apartment blocks overlooking the seafront, because St. Joseph's pitch is out of use at the moment. So it was a very unusual sight. Meanwhile, back in Dublin, St. Pat's won, beat Caldew 1-0 in injury time. Chris Forrester, a beautifully composed goal considering what was on the line. Caldew went down to 9 men in this match. So for 21 minutes plus extra time, Pats had 2 men extra. Eventually, they got the winner at the end. Second legs for next week.
Not that convincing, though.
No, not that convincing in the end from Pats, which was troubling. They had many shots, couldn't score. And then tonight, there are 3 games in the Premier Division. So you have Cork City against Sligo Rovers. That's a basement battle, Pat. That's last against second last. There's 8 points between them. So Cork City need to win that game. No bones about that. The other end of the table, it's third against second, Derry City against Bohemians. And then you have Galway United against Waterford, who are also paired in the table, 7th and 8th. All 3 games kick off at 7:45 p.m.
Now, a lot of women in action in sport. Let's first of all congratulate Kate O'Connor in the University Games in Germany. She took gold.
Yeah, the women's heptathlon. Yeah, in Germany, like you say, she amassed a total of 6,487, breaking her own national record that she got back in 2021. She's a serious prospect that we should be hearing a lot more of Kate O'Connor's name as the years go by. That's a fantastic achievement to win gold in Germany.
Camogie semi-finals this weekend.
Yeah, so we have a doubleheader tomorrow at Nolan Park. At 3 p.m. you have Galway against Tipperary, and then at 5 p.m. you have Cork against Waterford. So Cork are consecutive champions. They've won back to back. They've been in the last 4 finals, but they lost the previous 2. They've won the last 2. They're looking to go 3 in a row for the first time since 1973. And it was Galway that they beat in last year's final. So Galway and Tipperary should be mightily close, because this was also the semi-final last year that Galway won by a point.
And the question, how many of them will wear shorts? How many of them will wear shorts?
The breakdown, it is a balance. So it's a choice. So it's quite balanced on what they do, yeah. So we'll see it.
It'd be interesting to see if you've got a mixture and how they line up and how smart they look.
Yes,
that was
exactly
the whole thing.
Exactly.
I mean, a uniform, by definition, is uniform. That it's supposed
very
to
true.
Look the same.
So overlooked at the time, yeah. Very true.
Anyway,
yeah, we'll
anyway the other women in action, the Spanish and the English in their European Championship.
Yeah.
A reprieve.
Yes.
A reprise, rather, not a reprieve.
It's a repeat of the World Cup final, of course, which was dominated afterwards by the kiss, of course, and the... and the repercussions from that. But England have been cat-like on their nine lives, because they should have been eliminated a couple of times in this tournament. You know, the penalty shootout against Sweden, which was one of the all-time best slash worst penalty shootouts, because there was so much excitement, but the accuracy was way off the level that England should be at. And then they equalised in the 96th minute last time out, and then got the winner in the 119th minute from Chloe Kelly. So you would think that their name is written on the trophy here. But it is Spain that they're coming up against.
And Spain got through only in a late goal as well.
Exactly.
All right, Colin Bowie from Off the Ball. We'll talk on Monday about the results of all of that, but thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.